The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. However you're taking us in, I am grateful, as is this gentleman to my left. It's Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin.
Hey, how we doing?
Doing well. On a sort of sports light Thursday. In terms of schedule.
Yes, it is.
Major League Baseball was scheduled for four games. 25% of the schedule has been knocked out of rain by rain. So we're down to three games.
Are you
Major
serious?
League Baseball, you know.
Yeah, you're right. Three. Wow.
Three. We got two crown games, though.
Uh-oh.
That comes in. And then a short NBA slate, too.
Yeah, six whole NBA games tonight. Yep.
Well, we get to talk about last night's NBA. We got to do that coming up here. NFL draft props. We're still, now we're less than a month out, right? We could say it's this month, finally. The NFL draft. I have more mocks to look at to sort of give us perspective on some of these over-unders, their draft position with some of these players. Never too early to check out the draft.
It's great having draft positions out.
New mocks.
I was going through this yesterday too, Gil. I kind of got two. I like his bets already.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll do that. Final Four preview with Tim Murray this morning as well. Hey, Tim Murray from VSiN Primetime. Aren't we a game behind them in the bracket challenge?
Oh, I thought we were all tied.
We are. We're tied in points. We are tied.
Oh, yeah. Record-wise, but we're way ahead in action points.
Oh, we destroy them.
Because we're about that action.
We destroy everybody combined in action
points.
That's
right.
That's how good we are. Valero, Texas Open update. That should be fun because it's raining there, too. I do have a Charleston Open tennis play today after we split. Went Splitsville yesterday, one up, one down for nothing. And then Zach Cohen, Zach and Crack, the real headliners for the day. With apologies to everybody else, Final Four and tennis with Zach, NBA with Zach, and then Unscripted with the crack band, Bill Krakenberger. Looking forward to that.
You did just point out to me when I walked in the massive rain going on at the Valero Texas Open, and yet Dylan Wu is teeing up a ball right now.
Hey, he's trying to. Is he actually playing?
Yeah, he's playing. Okay, they're playing.
They're on the course. They're on the course. Excite. Very excite. Look how bad
it is. It's so rainy. Like, where are we?
So gross out.
It's Scotland right now? Like, what is this?
It's Texas is what it is. San Antonio. All right, yesterday in the NBA, got beat on a Tankapalooza parlay again.
Yeah! Oh, Tankapalooza! The bar to lose and return games. Screwing things up.
Well, you know what the thing is? I should have taken, first of all, we're 49-7 on these legs.
So silly,
that's
man.
Not good enough. That's not good enough. That is now, we're 3/10 of a unit down. 3/10 of a unit down.
Mm-hmm.
This has basically been a waste of time.
I ended up not even putting one in last night because I started to see some of those Raptors injuries, too.
Well, the great Femi Abebefe and Will Hill, equally great Will Hill, were kind enough to have me on VSiN Primetime last night.
Thought I read that show report correctly. Wow.
Yeah, it was nice of them to have me.
Big time.
My joke was, I knew you guys would invite me on if there were six NBA games of 13-point spreads or greater. So they were kind enough to have me on. And one thing I did say, and I should have followed my own advice, and I'm therefore an idiot. Let me just state that in advance. Because one of the things I was talking about was the tank versus tank game I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
Which was the Pacers game last night,
mm-hmm.
Pacers and Bulls. And one of the things I mentioned and went out of my way sort of to mention was, you know, we are at the point of the season now with six, seven games left for all these teams where, you know, some of these tanking teams now can afford to win basketball games.
Right.
So I mentioned that about the Pacers last night. I'm like, you know, the Pacers actually, there's a couple games between them and dropping from 14% of the ping pong balls to 12.5% of the ping pong balls. They can actually win basketball games where Chicago, who has no chance of even making the play-in, right, they actually are incentivized to lose now in a greater way because they don't want to drop from 4.5% of the ping pong balls to 3%.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana destroys them last night.
They want to stay in front of Milwaukee.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
So, and that was, I should have listened to my own advice when it came to the Sacramento Kings versus the Toronto Raptors last night because the Kings, they have 12.5% of the ping pong balls. They're in fourth worst right now. they don't want to fall. They're two games worse in the loss column than the Utah Jazz heading into last night. They don't want to fall below them or better than them, if you will, to get fewer, you know, a less percentage of ping pong balls. Anyway, I said that on their show last night, didn't pay attention to that on the other game, and we pay the price. Thanks, Raptors.
Well, they're a team that should be, I mean, they should be in the race completely down. Like, Sacramento should be trying to bank every loss possible. You don't want to move from 4 to 5.
They do.
Utah's right on their heels, and then theoretically they could still jump and catch Brooklyn or Indiana for getting that 2-3.
That's right. Well, they could go up from 12.5 to 14%. Right. I'm sort of saying they could also fall from 12.5 to 10.5% of the ping pong balls. Anyway, it applied more to Indiana, but perhaps I should have paid that advice to Sacramento. But your point is sound as well. Theoretically, they could get better, in quotes. You always have to do the opposite here with quotes.
Yeah, I know.
with it. Anyway, we
lose.
People
know what we're talking about.
All of that to say we lost. We hit 3 out of 4 legs, and we lose on the Take-A-Palooza parlay. So the whole thing has been a waste of time in 2018.
Yeah, I'll tell you the other...
Or just, excuse me, 2026 as opposed to 2018.
Just kind of other brain-dead things that I've been putting into action, though, here recently. The and I know you texted me about it last night, too, just the... We often talk about these superstar players. It is, and I'm not a huge prop bettor, but to look over on their massive over numbers that are set already for their points, what if you're talking about Jokic, PRA, everything, these guys, especially Wemby, is clearly gunning for this thing and is going to put, I mean, the first quarter of that game last night was absurd Wembanyama-ness.
Well, there was a few things last night. One, when the Knicks and the Celtics, no, excuse me, the Hawks and the Celtics covered their low spreads last night. Mm-hmm. Then there was a period of time where it looked like all the big spreads they were going to... I was like, this is going to be an unbelievable night. Didn't turn out that way.
Right.
And by the way, with San Antonio, if you got the worst of the number, that was one of the worst losses against the number ever.
So that was
a Warriors garbage time bonanza.
So I hit on the Spurs I talked about on the show yesterday. I had 12.5, right?
Yeah.
Ended up on Wemby over points and rebounds, get home easily. And then I'm just not as good as Chris Foster. And then I did the thing where I put them all in a same game parlay, you know, and like it was like 6-1 or something like that. But what was it? Because I bet it late. That number was 14.5. So the only thing that burned me was the spread.
And the Spurs were up like 23 or something right before this. They ended up winning by 14. They beat the Warriors. But to your point about the MVP. So Victor Wembanyama yesterday, first half, 27-13. For the game, 41-18. They finally took him out. And he told Scott Van Pelt last night on ESPN, did Wembanyama, about whether or not he had MVP squarely in his sights. He said, quote, "I do care deeply about it. I think that of the greats that are in the Hall of Fame or the best of all time, they have fought and grabbed everything they could grab early on in their career. If I want to make my spot among the greats, I got to try to not miss any occasion to put my name up there."
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. If I knew he was going to go on this barnstorming tour of stumping for himself,
yeah,
whatever the old political metaphors are, I might have bet double on him.
I know. And I think we might still like kind of have opportunities on a night to night basis here with this team, Gil. Like this is Zach and I were just doing hardwood handicappers, talking about this, and he's on the Clippers tonight. I show a little value on that Clippers number tonight as well with the Spurs coming off a back to back. I am not betting the Clippers though against this Spurs team right now and what Victor Wembanyama is looking to do. And if anything, it's me looking at the Spurs side more, hoping this number continues to come down. And I might be playing Wemby props again.
Spurs 2 games behind the Thunder for those who think that the MVP race will come down to what's the team's record. We talked a little bit about this with Femi and Will last night also, because they were sort of saying for some voters, like the Bill Simmonses of the world, I think they quoted saying it might just come down to the team record. And I'm thinking to myself, if you have a vote for MVP and that's what your tiebreaker is, how stupid are you? That's your vote? That one. What about the Spurs crushing them head to head? What about that?
So that's the other side of this specific conversation, right?
It's so stupid.
I mean, record always comes into play in this race, but I hear what you're saying, especially with what Victor the Spurs did against them, 4 out of 5 times this season.
Your stewardship of that vote is going to come down to the team having being 2 games better. If that's what it ends up, by the way, Jaylen Brown scored 43 for the Celtics, so Will Bond's vote for Jaylen Brown is going to be that much more solidified. Shot of Kelly shaking his head. Yes. 500-1 at the betting market, but Wilbon has decided he's going with Jaylen Brown.
Ugh, it's painful, man. I mean, look, it's a besides that point, that was a statement game from Boston last night for sure. That was big time. A triple-double out of Tatum in, I think, 38 minutes he played. Just to see him play that much, Jaylen Brown having another big scoring night, doing what he's doing. This Miami team's tough to figure out right now. But that was big from Boston, and I think Boston has kind of solidified themselves as the team to beat heading in the Eastern Conference playoffs, Gil, at least for me. I'm not as confident in them as some others are, but they're number one in my power rankings right now for the Eastern Conference.
Yep. And I'm with the Spurs in the West. Spurs and Celtics never wavered on that. Only bets I've made.
A great bet, man. That was such a great bet.
Well, that's what we're going with here. Right now, Shea -300 to win MVP, Victor 3-1. Luka 30-1, Nikola Jokic 100-1, Jaylen Brown 500-1. Those are the best numbers you can get for all those players at either FanDuel or DraftKings. Didn't extend beyond that. Maybe you'll be able to find a better stray number beyond those two books. But that's where that stands.
Jokic is still 100-1 at FanDuel?
Still 100-1 at FanDuel.
Boyd didn't pick up the phone after yesterday?
Boyd just a knockoff. Yeah, they respected my 20
hey,
bucks.
We got this Gil Alexander who just came in. We had to move down to 25-1. You might want to adjust accordingly.
I should check Boyd to see if that even moved back at all.
Probably not. It's probably 25 still.
Yeah. See what happens with that. You got to get there in time.
That was funny.
It's a race to see what it is. Let's see. Awards. MVP.
Look at Gil's future. Spurs to win the finals. 19. 125-1 on that matchup. Woo!
Jokic still 25-1 at Boyd. That's right. 20 bucks moved it. We'll come back. My tennis play and more. More NBA. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game brought to you by ProfitX. If you're not on ProfitX yet, Masters Week is the perfect time to start. New users get a sign-up bonus up to $100 in bonus cash just for getting started with promo code VSiNMM. That's MM as in March Madness. And next week, ProfitX dropping their Masters of Your Domain contest. During the Masters, make one play of $50 or more on any Masters market, win or lose, and earn an entry to win a $1,000 golf prize of your choice. I'm out. Is that the kind of contest it is? A $1,000 round of golf, $1,000 club of your choice, $1,000 gift card to any golf apparel brand. Win or lose on your play, you're still in the running. Download the ProfitX app. Use promo code VSiNMM. Make your first purchase. Earn that bonus. Get in on the action at Augusta. Download ProfitX today. Use promo code VSiNMM.
What I'm really wondering about is if you can just combine some of the profit promos, right? Because then can I pay for the trip with one promo and then the golf course with the other promo?
Good call.
You know, then the whole thing's paid for.
Let's make a call. We'll find out. Billy Charlebois. Oh, Billy, he was thanking me for turning him on to Love on the Spectrum. Billy Charlebois agrees. He says, if you ever need a feel-good show, Love on the Spectrum is the absolute best show ever. Connor may be my favorite person on the planet. Please tell my Mariner fan friends who are freaking out that we are equal to being a half of a game into an NFL season. Yeah, people are overreacting it every which way. Keith Fournier, I am holding futures on both Wemby MVP and the UConn men. Holder hedge. I mean, I'm a holder. I'm not a hedger.
I think it's hold on both.
Yeah, Rick Olier, big news, guys. The Raiders signed Fernando Mendoza just a few weeks before they draft Kirk Cousins. Pretty much. You look at him, I couldn't tell the difference. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Murray joins us now. He is the host of VSiN Primetime, who we are here on a numbers game in a deadlock with in the VSiN Bracket Challenge. Equal
bum,
points.
Bum, bum.
I also think that...
Why are we even having him on the show? We shouldn't discuss strategies. Oh,
well,
gosh.
Maybe we can glean some information from him. I think Prop Points is also tied with us at points as well. Tim Murray joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at 1. That's the number 1, Tim Murray. Good morning, sir.
Hello, gentlemen. How about our guy, Kirk Cousins, coming to town? We, in my neighborhood, I live right down the street, Gil, from the Raiders facility, and we have a house for rent, and I'm just looking for Kirk's number to call him up and say, hey, great school district. I've got a little guy. You could have his two boys play with. So come on, be my neighbor, Kirk Cousins.
There you go.
Would you like to give your boy a shout-out since you bring it up, since you're wearing the Expos-like hat? No? You don't want to give him a shout?
Nah.
All right, well, here's the thing. Tim has a son who plays baseball. Have you seen this kid on Twitter who's 3 years old? On like TikTok or Instagram, there's a father who's training his son in their basement. This kid at 3 years old, if this is the pace of his life, he'll be Barry Lamar Bonds. He's just unbelievable. Anyway, you got to see. I think it's Jay Fletch, something like that.
I'm finally looking it up right now because you've brought this up like six times.
It's incredible. This will make you love baseball so much. The joy of this kid playing the sport. Anyway, it's my little shout out to that. All right, Tim. Before we get to the Final Four tonight, we got two in the Crown. We got two in the NIT. You have any thoughts on any of those?
A couple small plays. Let's embrace the final couple basketball games of the year. Initial thought is West Virginia as a short dog. It's essentially a pick 'em 1-1.5. That game's in the Crown. From what I've been told, West Virginia pumped up to be here. So I think West Virginia would be a slight look for me. And then, you know, in the NIT, these games we played at Hinkle Fieldhouse, which I kind of love. I don't know if we can make this unfold moving forward. We had a really fun NIT championship a couple years ago with Indiana State inside Hinkle Fieldhouse. So Butler's facility will be the host for it. The market's coming in on Auburn a little bit here, Gil, late. 7.5 at FanDuel, 7.5 at DraftKings. I like the Redbirds a little bit here. Illinois State plus the 7.5. So that was a play for me, and I'll be sweating that out tonight. That's the second game of the NIT. So two small plays, nothing crazy. More just to kind of keep myself entertained as we wrap up the hoop season. But, you know, Auburn 3-0 straight up, obviously, to get here, but 0-3 ATS. These numbers have been pretty high. So I'll take Illinois State plus the 7. And maybe we wait a little bit, Gil, because it does seem like the market is coming in on Auburn right now. Yeah. So maybe we get 7.5 or 8 out there. I know DraftKings, like I mentioned, and FanDuel. So be patient. You might be able to get the G5 squad at a little bit better price as the day goes on.
All right, Tim, not sure if you're aware of this, but the Final Four is on Saturday.
It is?
Yeah. It's happening.
Ooh, man.
Illinois and UConn in the first of the two semis. The Illini now have settled in as a 2-point favorite pretty much everywhere on this now. Total 139.5. What do you think about this one?
So I do have an Illinois future, 15-1. Obviously, there were much better prices out there even pre-tournament, so I didn't get it at the best time. But, let's just start with both these teams. I mean, the way both these teams are playing, the way Danny Hurley has just gotten this team to where they are yet again, you have to give the slight coaching edge to Hurley and his staff. Luke Murray is obviously moving on to Boston College, but will be there at the Final Four. And they've been here before. Alex Caraban was starting against Illinois when they went on, a 30-0 run in the Elite Eight a couple years ago. But I think, and this is just my kind of tinfoil hat, I think we're getting Illinois maybe just a little bit on sale because of what UConn has done here over the past couple of years, the win against Duke. So I think Illinois, to me, probably should be closer to maybe like a 3-point favorite in this one. So, I mean, you're splitting hairs, obviously. But, you know, for me, I like Illinois here a little bit. Haven't bet it because I do think the public might continue to come in here on UConn, understandably so, with the run that Danny Hurley and the Huskies are on, not only 17-1 straight up, but 17-1 against the spread over the last 4 years in this tournament. So Illinois, though, I think pound for pound, Gil, I give the slight edge from a player personnel standpoint. And, you know, we had Brian Butch on the show earlier this week, former Wisconsin Badger, but also does work for the Big Ten Network. And I thought he had a great X factor in this game. And his X factor was Jake Davis, a guy that shoots at about 40% from three, comes off the bench for Illinois. You know, can he be a guy that comes in and hits some big shots here for the Illini? So I look at Illinois. Keaton Wagler will be the best player on the floor. Can Illinois keep Terrace Reed in check. Obviously, he's been an absolute monster throughout the NCAA tournament. So, look, these two games so tightly contested, but I do like Illinois here. I'm going to wait and see if we could get a little bit of a cheaper money line price here on the Illini, because my expectation, Gil, is that we see a little bit of UConn love come in before this game tips off on Saturday.
It's an interesting point. Is there a little bit of UConn legacy baked into that, and perhaps UConn dramatics end of game against Duke?
A little bit, right?
Yeah, baked into that. What about the main event? Or at least that's how people are perceiving it. Michigan and Arizona, with Michigan favored by 1.5. This is after Arizona was initially favored. This swung to Michigan and is stuck right there the whole time. 157.5 the total.
Doesn't it feel like this game is the Spider-Man meme? Like, I look at these two teams and I'm like, yeah, they're the same thing. I mean, they both have enormous interior presence. They both are up-tempo teams. They're both top five in both offensive and defensive efficiency. And this isn't to knock Duke because they lost, and not that anyone's going to be like, oh, you Duke hater, because who likes Duke outside of a small population of the country? These are the two best teams in the country, and they've proven it, and they've looked the part throughout this NCAA tournament. And I hate being the guy that says, well, you know, you should just bet this game live. But shouldn't you just bet this game live? I mean, we're looking at a total of 157.5, which is kind of NBA-esque for college basketball. And you're looking at a spread that essentially is a coin toss. So, you know, is this a situation? I mentioned this yesterday when I was on with JVT, Gil, which is, you know, the Nebraska-Iowa game was a coin toss, right? Much lower total, but it was a coin toss. At the first media timeout, Nebraska was up 12-2 and Iowa was +7.5. Is that the situation we look at here? So I think from a betting standpoint, I'm going to jump in on this game live, because it's hard for me right now to determine which team I'd rather be on. If you had to say, all right, stop talking about live betting, we want a pre-flop decision, I think I go Michigan because of the three-point shooting capabilities. Arizona can shoot it well. They just don't shoot it often, right? Michigan will shoot the three. So I think if I had to give the ever so slight edge here, it would be to Michigan. But man, these two teams are so similar. Their style of plays are similar. Their size is similar. So I will take Michigan just with the slightest lean. But I think for all folks listening in, this is a tremendous in-game betting opportunity with a high total and essentially a coin toss of a spread.
If you didn't have your Illinois future, is the winner of this the national champion?
Yes, but I would say there might be value on the winner plus the points.
Okay, Tim Murray. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. Coming back, we'll wrap up that NFL draft thing next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A Numbers Game proudly brought to you by ProfitX. If you're not on ProfitX yet, what are you waiting for? Masters Week, perfect time to start. New users get a sign-up bonus up to $100 in bonus cash just for getting started with promo code VSiNMM. That's MM as in March Madness. And next week, ProfitX is dropping their Masters of Your Domain contest. During the Masters, make one play of $50 or more in any Masters market, win or lose, and earn an entry to win a $1,000 golf prize of your choice. Here are your choices. $1,000 round of golf, $1,000 club of your choice, $1,000 gift card to any golf apparel brand. Win or lose on your play, you're still in the running. Download the ProfitX app, use promo code VSiNMM, make your first purchase, earn that bonus, and get in on the action at Augusta. Download ProfitX today and use promo code VSiNMM. Ladies and gentlemen, we were oppo yesterday on a match, and he got the best of me. We're oppo again today. Zach Cohen, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. You can follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX. He is also the host of Hardwood Handicappers, our NBA podcast, which, you know, my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, when he's feeling like he, you know, can donate his time, he makes an appearance on that from time to time.
That's right, including this morning.
Nice of you. Including this morning up till 3 minutes right before the show.
That's right. Plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
It's Zach Cohen, everybody. That's what I'm getting at. How you doing, Zach?
I'm good. Yeah, I gave Kelly an out this morning. I'm like, oh, if you don't have anything else to add, you could go, you know, get out of here. And he like started talking about Rookie of the Year. And I'm like, all right, you need to get out of here.
You
Kelly.
Need to get out of here.
Yeah. In case any bosses are listening, it's never Zach's fault. It's always my fault.
It's always Kelly's fault. He could talk about Rookie of the Year from now to the end of time.
NBA Awards. I could do a 4-hour show daily on NBA Awards if that hasn't become apparent.
All right, let's get the tennis out of the way. So we are opposite. You are on Paolo Badosa today.
Yeah, and this is the one we were opposite on yesterday, too. I mean, Badosa is just a player that her numbers this year, her ranking this year really don't tell the story of who she is as a player. She has dealt with on and off injuries for years now, but I think that on clay, she's a top 15 player in the world. She just has such good movement, such good power. And on clay, you know, her heavy topspin forehand becomes a bit more of a weapon. Her serve is a bit more of a weapon. And I kind of think like these Charleston courts, which are a little bit more like a hard court, clay court hybrid,
yeah,
really do suit her well as a big server with clay court games. So I like her to beat Kalinskaya, who I think plays a little bit flatter. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, a juicy number at minus 175.
Okay. He is on Badosa. I am on Kalinskaya. Zach got the best of me head-to-head yesterday on the Badosa-Sakkari match, which was not much of a competitive match at all in the end. You have one on the men's side. Which tournament is this?
This is Houston. I took Alex Mickelson to beat Alexei Popperin at minus 163. This is another one where it's just, you know, very much a clay court, hard court hybrid. I was actually watching Ben Shelton play against Zhijian Zhang last night, and the announcers are like, I can't believe we're seeing so many like 2-3 shot rallies with these two on a clay court. And I'm like, yeah, well, they're two big servers, powerful players, pretty much playing on a hard court. I don't know why you'd expect longer rallies, but I do think Mickelson's game is a really good fit for this. And Popperin is a player I really don't like to go against because he's also much better than his ranking, but just 3-9 since the start of this season has really struggled. Mickelson kind of breaking out and becoming the player that I think somebody expected him to be in American tennis. So I think this is a pretty good price for the better player in a home court tournament.
All right, Badosa in Charleston, Mickelson in Houston. We say this when you're on the Beating the Book pod, when you, me, and Drew do the slams or Indian Wells, when we do this podcast. We never say it on this show. What other tennis outlets can we find you on, Zach?
This is really it. I mean, VSiN's where you're getting all my picks right now. I do some video stuff for Tennis Channel, but like that's really just pre-tournament videos, you know, kind of looking at the whole event. I mean, for this tournament, I did have Belinda Bencic to win in Charleston at plus 550. Put that over on the VSiN Pro Picks page, so you got it here as well. But really, you're only getting my tennis stuff at VSiN now.
I already hate myself for not fading Bencic this morning because I lean heavily towards Sarah Bezalek, and she's up a break anyway in the first set. Okay, well, that's something. You shouldn't be sheepish about that. That's something. You do videos over the Tennis Channel. We should let people know that. All right, let's go to college hoops, the Final Four. You have a play in the semis this weekend. What do you have?
Yeah, I have Michigan minus 115 against Arizona. I just kind of think that this is the perfect storm of a bad matchup for the Wildcats. I mean, I kind of said it since the start of the tournament. Not exactly a hot take. A lot of people mentioned it, but this Arizona team does not shoot a lot of threes. They might shoot them well, but they do not shoot enough of them. Michigan is a team that really can knock down the three ball, and I do think that the math is going to favor the Wolverines, and usually Arizona is able to make up for that by having, you know, a pretty big size advantage in the front court. They're not going to have that against Michigan. Michigan's absolutely massive. They're athletic. They're well-coached. I just really think that this is a game where they will be out-physical, which is something that they're not used to, but also I think the Wolverines have the edge from the perimeter. So this is kind of a really bad matchup for Arizona, at least on paper, but obviously this is a really talented team, so anything can happen from here. This is a great Final Four. I actually took UConn plus 700 to win the tournament from here just because I do like the matchup against Illinois, and I just kind of think that UConn, once they get, if they get to the finals, it's a talented enough team that I'd give Hurley a shot.
I'm with you. I think I would not be surprised if any of the four team wins. Maybe a little bit by Illinois, but that's about as far as I'll go. Wouldn't be surprised at all if UConn won at all. Okay, to the National Basketball Association, which is your bread and butter. By the way, Hardwood Handicappers comes out every single day.
Every Monday to Friday, and then I do some picks over on the website on Saturday and Sunday, so you'll always get picks out of me, but the podcast only Monday to Friday.
I meant Monday through Friday, I should point out. He does get to rest on the weekend from Hardwood Handicappers. Okay, where did you land on? Let's start with the picks for today. What did you end up with?
I took the Suns plus 5.5 against the Hornets. Not the greatest rest situation for Phoenix. It's their third game in four nights, but I do like the way the Suns match up against the Hornets. They beat them by 12 a couple of weeks ago in Phoenix without Dylan Brooks and Grayson Allen. Both of those guys will be out there tonight. Also seems like Mark Williams might be back for Phoenix. So this is going to be the first time in a really long time, and maybe even the first time all season, that the Suns could potentially have their entire rotation. And I do think that's going to be somewhat scary for the Hornets, because this is a really tough matchup for a few reasons. I mean, Charlotte is the best three-point shooting team in the NBA right now, number one in the league in three-point makes a game at 16.2. But the Suns are the third best three-point defense, allowing only 12.1 triples per game. I think the Suns are going to be able to get out and contest. And also, the Suns force a lot of turnovers. And this Hornets team, while they've been much better this season, and LaMelo Ball, to his credit, has done a much better job of taking care of the basketball himself, it's still a team that could be a little bit loose with the basketball. And I think the Phoenix's defense is going to look energized and good tonight. This is a team that under Jordan Ott this season, 10-5 straight up, 11-4 against the spread when coming off a loss by six or fewer points. I think they're going to come with some really good energy after a close loss to Orlando.
Like how he throws the under Jordan Knott little phrase in there. Just a little shout out to Jordan Knott as well.
Yep. Keep shouting that out, Zach. And I heard you say Hornets number one in 3-point shooting this year. Is there a young upstart rookie on that team that has anything to do with that? Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, there's a guy by the name of Con Knipple.
Maybe
has a chance of winning.
Wow. How did he come up? That's random. Yeah. All right. Weird. Clippers and Spurs tonight at LA. Clip Show is a 3-point dog here in this one.
Yeah, I jumped on this last night and it was 4.5. I ended up buying to 5.5 at minus 125. So I have a really good number on LA. It's plus 5.5. This is one of the first times all season that I feel like I have a really good move on a number. But look, I do like the Clippers tonight. I think that I would still take 3, 3.5 if you feel like you have to. But otherwise, I think that this is a game that is getting close to being unplayable. But I do think that the Clippers are just a little bit underrated when looking at this matchup with Darius Garland in the lineup. This team is 9-4, and they're starting five of Garland, Kawhi, Derrick Jones Jr., John Collins, Brooke Lopez has just been excellent. When you kind of look at the numbers there, 127.9 points per 100 possessions offensively. That's in the 99th percentile of five-man lineups in the NBA this season, plus 14 efficiency differential with those five on the floor. It's also just a really big lineup, which I like against San Antonio, because obviously you have Wembanyama out there. You need some size to kind of body him up, contest shots. Not every team in the league is capable of doing that. The Clippers might be able to do it. So I think this is going to be a game that LA keeps kind of close and potentially has a chance to win late. Also, third game in four nights for the Spurs, second leg of a back-to-back. They did get out somewhat easy last night against the Warriors. Didn't have to play Wemby much in the fourth quarter, but still, fatigue is fatigue, and I think this is a tough spot for San Antonio.
Much to the chagrin of those who got the Spurs minus 14.5 late last night, and not the earlier numbers on that. Spurs have won 10 in a row, 15 of 16, and 26 of 28, and still remain two behind the Thunder.
Haven't made up any ground.
Yeah. Okay. And then are you still take-a-palooza-ing here? You got a parlay for us?
This is not a take-a-palooza parlay. It's just a parlay. I was doing that as well. It has not been going well over the last couple of days, though, so maybe time to lay off. But I did take the Thunder money line against the Lakers, Cavaliers money line against the Warriors. It's still juicy, minus 175, but I wanted a piece of OKC. They have dominated this head-to-head over the last couple of years, and I just think that that's a little bit too many points to lay. So I took the Thunder money line with the Cavaliers, which I think is a safe pick against the Warriors, who will be without Steph Curry until what sounds like Sunday, but it does sound like Curry will be back soon. So that is the saving grace for Golden State, which has been struggling over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Butler out for the year, Moody out for the year, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Curry out for stretches. The end of Draymond.
Yeah, I haven't bet this yet, but that will most likely be the same exact play for me tonight as well.
More with Zach on the other side. We'll talk NBA playoffs with him, get his thoughts on who he thinks will get to the promised land, and a little before that. And, of course, we will talk awards. His thoughts on the National Basketball Awards, which are tight. Coming up, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The Masters is almost here, a tradition unlike any other. And if you think you know the field better than the average bettor, it's time to prove it. The VSiN High Stakes Masters Challenge on Splash Sports is a $500 entry with $100,000 guaranteed. Fantasy tiers contest built specifically for golf bettors. Here's how it works. You draft six golfers, one from each tier of the field. Your top five scores count. Lowest combined score across all four rounds wins. Now, your worst golfer will get dropped automatically, but missed cuts carry an eight-stroke penalty, so roster construction matters. Entry closes April 9th at 8 a.m., so don't wait. Head to splashsports.com/VSiN and use promo code VSiN for a 50% deposit match up to $100, a free $20 quick picks entry, and a 100% quick picks boost. Just go to splashsports.com/VSiN and use promo code VSiN.
Love it. Awesome contest. I will be trying to get into it. I think I might take a little trip down, check in on the old food truck, see how it's doing down there. I haven't been down there in a while. Sign up for Splash there and get in on this contest. It's going to be a fun one.
I'm a Ron Burgundy through some tweets here. JB Uncle Bush, Gil missed the perfect opportunity to charge Kelly $28 for touching the air conditioner.
That's a good point.
It's actually very true, Uncle Bush. I missed my chance. Kevin Norman, someone needs to tell that three-year-old kid's father to Google Todd Marinovich. Oh, that's true also. That could go ugly. You're right. It's all fun and games at 3 years old. Yep. But who knows? Kid might rebel at some point. Chance, talk about this this kid on social media who is just, at 3 years old, perfect baseball form on everything. Chance Copperpot. Gilly and Kelly talking about Wemby and the Spurs got me fired up to pull up my futures. Wemby, 22-1 MVP. Spurs chip, 88-1. Wow, he's got the Spurs to win it all at 88-1. And the one I forgot about, Defensive Player of the Year at plus 103. Is it possible Wemby can win both awards?
Oh, yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, it's possible. Happened before.
We better be cashing Defensive Player of the Year. I thought I was looking at those odds this morning, like minus 8,000 at DraftKings. 98% ain't 100%, Gil.
Wait, what is minus 8,000?
Wemby to win Defensive Player. Yeah. Like, I'm like, why is Chet still 15-1? Like, what are we? What kind of joke? What kind of joke is that? He ain't winning.
Remember that ridiculous Chet bet I got that one day? It was a stray book.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
also,
yeah.
Oh, by the way, Gobert. How's my Gobert looking? Also a straight.
Hey, man, they were looking really good when Wemby was out.
JC, oh, he backs me up on Tacos Al Pastor. He says, it's fantastic, especially when Gordo's line is too long and it's just a few steps away. That's also what's going on the strip, too. El Gordo is right around the corner.
The line's crazy always.
El Gordo is like a factory.
Yeah.
But Al Pastor is just tremendous.
You want some more Kirk Cousins news,
yes,
Gil?
Yes, please. Oh, yeah, we have a contract now.
That's right. Him and his agent do it again. Kirk Cousins somehow making more money than you would think he should at this age. Okay, you are going to see the, I just kind of broke this all down, you're going to see the headline-grabbing tweet probably of a five-year deal for Kirk Cousins. It's a little bit, you're going to see 5 years, $172 million. Last 2 years of that are void years. This is how it breaks down. Tom Pelissero did a great job with this. This year, the Falcons will pay him $8.7 million. The Raiders will cover $1.3, and the Raiders pay Cousins an additional $10 million guaranteed roster bonus. So instead of the $10 million guaranteed Kirk could have gotten with just hanging around with the Falcons, he will scoop up $20 million in guaranteed money this year. Don't be fooled by five-year contract stuff, though. This is very likely to be a one-year deal or a three-year deal, somewhere in that range.
This does not include what you just said, but as of April, right, as of yesterday, Kirk Cousins had accumulated approximately $331.6 to $333 million in career earnings over his 14-season NFL career, top five highest-earning players in NFL history. And let me just say this. Again, I'm looking at the playoff victories. I see one. Is that correct? I see one.
Kirk Cousins, man. 11 straight years. Adam Schefter. 11 straight seasons.
Adam Schefter says a first ballot business Hall of Famer. Man. Yeah. Well, he's
fully guaranteed contract for 11 years.
We'll bring in Zach Cohen for this. Zach kind enough to join us for a second segment. But it started out in D.C. where Daniel Snyder refused to give him a long-term deal. And so Cousins like, I'll bet on myself every year. And he was going up $31 million, $34 million, $37. It was just, you know, good on him. Never got hurt, which was the, you know, the luck of it, right? That's what he was really trying to avoid when you're betting on yourself like that on one-year deals. He avoided that. Then the Vikings gave him the three-year, $87 million deal, and it's just been a windfall since. Good for him. Nice dude.
Yeah.
Not exactly a guy I want to bet on, necessarily, but a nice dude.
He's a solid mentor.
Zach Cohen, everybody, joining us once again. Zach, I won't ask you to chime in on Kirk Cousins, but I will ask you to chime in on as the NBA playoffs approach, and we have like six games left in the regular season, generally, with throughout the league right now, with the play-in games on the horizon here. I'll ask you this again. Now, as you look at the East and the West, we'll start with the West because that's probably the easier one, but maybe not. Who do you believe ends up with seeding not completely determined yet, but as you can project in both the Western Conference Final and the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah, I don't want to come off my call of the Nuggets winning the West yet. I just feel like it has been ugly over the last couple of weeks, at least defensively. But I feel like they've been good enough that I shouldn't change my pick. So I don't want to do that. But I'll say Nuggets over Thunder in the Western Conference.
Nuggets over
Thunder. If that's possible with seeding.
If it's possible with seeding, Nuggets over Thunder. Yeah, we have to say the disclaimer if it's possible with seeding because we don't know the final seeding. All right.
Right now, it's not.
Right now, that's right. Right now, it's not because they're 1-4. So it's not correct. Yeah, that's right. The Spurs and the Lakers are the 2-3 at this point in the West. Okay. This perhaps is more interesting to folks. So who do you got in the East?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a complete nightmare because I was prepared to talk to you about some teams that I like a little bit further down to take a shot with in terms of just winning the East. Well,
we can do that. I mean, who do you got?
So we've talked a little bit about this. I think that the Hornets are absolutely worth a look, especially if they end up finding a way to play against the Pistons in the first round. I think that that's the best matchup for them with Cade, you know, somewhat uncertain with the lung injury. I think that that's something that, you know, you really have to look at is if Charlotte is 1-8 in that first round, I would expect them to win that series, even with Detroit having home court advantage. The other team that I have really talked myself into, and I do it every year and I should not do it, is the Philadelphia 76ers, who all of a sudden have Paul George scoring, you know, 40 points and all these guys healthy at the right time. I also kind of wonder if they're fresher because of all the injuries that they've had to deal with. The question now with Philly becomes, can these guys stay on the court for 3 or 4 weeks? But as of right now, we're looking at, you know, Knicks 76ers in the first round in the 3-6 matchup. And I like the Knicks. I wouldn't feel great about that matchup, though, if I'm New York, just with the moves that we've seen this Philadelphia team make, with them being healthier, with them being a little bit younger and more explosive than the last time that they played one another. I just really wouldn't put it past the 76ers to win that series and ultimately go on to make a run, because I do think that there's a top four in the Eastern Conference, but it's not like the top of the Western Conference where these are, you know, elite, elite teams. They're just very good teams.
Yeah, Paul George with a high for his career as a Sixer last night with 39 in the Sixers win over the Wizards last night. So let me try to glean from what you just said. So if I told you any of these teams won the East, Celtics, Cavs, Knicks, I'll keep going.
Yeah,
Pistons,
keep going.
Sixers, Hornets. Do I stop short of the Hawks or do I include the Hawks? Can any of those teams win the East, in your opinion?
I think I would stop at the Hornets. And I do have some Hawks plays this year. I have some Hawks to win the Southeast Division. I have them to make the playoffs. I don't think that they have enough offensive firepower to win a playoff series against a good team. And as of right now, it would be the Cavaliers, who, you know, Kelly's talked about the Knicks having, what, the highest floor in the Eastern Conference. I think the Cavaliers have the highest ceiling. I just think their roster is just tremendous when it comes to offensive firepower and defensive playmaking. I think that the two bigs, you know, with Harden make a lot more sense than they did with Darius Garland. And the depth that the Cavaliers have is just kind of crazy when you look at, you know, Strus, Keon Ellis, Dennis Schroeder coming off the bench, Jalen Tyson currently injured, but I think that that's an injury that's a little underrated right now. Just such a good player for them the first half of the year. But I think Cleveland goes 9 deep with guys that can actually play in a postseason series. And if they, you know, can figure it out in the first round, I think that they're the most dangerous team in the East.
Most dangerous team in the East that could come out of a play-in between the Raptors, Hornets, Magic, and Heat is?
The Hornets, pretty easily to me. I think that the Magic are really talented on paper, but they think they've proven time and time again that the Franz Paolo thing just really isn't the greatest fit in the world. And they're never healthy in the backcourt. Usually it's Jalen Suggs that's out. Right now it's Anthony Black. That's a team that I feel almost certain saying that they're going to fire Jamal Mosley and shuffle some things up with the roster.
Okay.
My bad for not bringing this up earlier. I'm cutting in. You made a bet most improved player recently, Zach. Who'd you go with?
I took Denny Avdija 20-1, and he needs to play four of the final five games to reach the 65-game limit. Zero back-to-backs in those five, so hopefully there's no back flaring up or anything, but I do think his profile from last year to this year of making the all-star leap, jumping up in statistics, looks the most like some of the recent winners.
That is Zach Cohen's Pesach play of the day. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's go, Denny. Get that award. Oh, man, will I be left out. He wins that.
Yeah, he can still get in.
Crack coming up. Recap the bets next.